Good morning, brothers and sisters. We extend a welcome to all those who have attended this morning. Also to those who are joining us by live stream, welcome to the worship service. May we all be encouraged by and strengthened by the proclamation, by the preaching that we may receive this morning, and may our Heavenly Father be glorified by our worship. Consistory has the following announcements. An attestation has been requested by Sister Bronwyn Dykstra to the Free Reformed Church of Armidale. We wish her the Lord's blessings as she settles into her new congregation. You're reminded that Damien and Bronwyn's wedding will, the Lord willing, take place this week, Saturday, at 11 a.m. in this church building. You're reminded that next week, Sunday morning, a coffee social is planned to help celebrate the puppy's wedding anniversary. The thank offerings during next week's Sunday service will be for the Ministry of Mercy, Pindari, and for mission work in PNG. Before we begin this worship service, let us sing from Psalm 93, verses 1 and 4.
Congregation, please rise to receive the greeting of our Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, in response to God's greeting, let us sing from Psalm 108 to verses 1 and 2. We now, with all respect, put ourselves under the discipline of the holy law of the Lord, and let us test our lives on it as on the rule of thankfulness. God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honour your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbour. You shall not covet your neighbour's house. You shall not covet your neighbour's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbour's. In response to God's law, let us now sing from Psalm 51, verse 2 and 4. Let's pray to the Lord and ask Him for a blessing over this worship service this morning. God of all grace, thank You that You have called us into Your presence this morning. We are thankful that we have just looked into the mirror of Your law and have seen the reality of who we really are. We have sinned in thought, word and deed, and in every aspect of our lives. Of ourselves, even our best prayers are stained with sin. Yet the grief that we have over our sin, Lord, is sometimes non-existent or impure. We make our sins worse with quick and easy confessions, and we do not truly repent as we should. Father, please forgive all of it through Christ. Please help our unbelief. Help us with Your word and spirit to repent the way we should. Father, help us with Your Holy Spirit. Give us more grace so that we will always look to our Saviour with love and joy so that we can live in all righteousness. We pray for Your word as we open it this morning. Grant that through Your word we may learn to put our hope and trust in You alone. We pray that Your word will reveal to us our sins and our shortcomings, that we may be able to repent, that we may be made right with You. Father, we long for that personal living relationship with You. We know that it is possible through Jesus Christ, through the work of the Spirit and through the revelation of Your word. We pray that we walk with You, that we may meditate on Your word, and in this way we do have a right relationship with You. We thank You that we can be here together with You this morning, not just for the opening of Your word, but also through our singing. Be with those who are going through challenges and difficulties and could not be here this morning. Bless them and grant to them all they need. Be with those who could be here but choose not to be. Those who feel no need for You in their lives. Those whom consistory has concerns for. Those under discipline or who have chosen to withdraw. Will You work mightily in their hearts, Lord, that they may see the error in pursuing a life without You? A life that will only lead to destruction. We thank You that Your word embraces all of life. We thank You for Your word of promise. We thank You that even though we are just like the prodigal son, constantly going off to do our own thing, and then always asking for You, Your forgiveness, yet we receive the assurance of Your sure love. Truly, You are a great and loving God. Bless us. We pray in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let us take up our Bibles and turn to where we find our scripture reading for this morning. We will be reading from 2 Peter 1, verse 1 to 11. That can be found on 1207 of your pew Bible. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Saviour Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Before the sermon, let us sing from Psalm 119, the verses 1, 2 and 3. The sermon which I'll read to you this morning was made by the Reverend S. Tahart from the Free Reformed Church of Melville and is the third of a series on 2 Peter. He chose for text 2 Peter 1, the verses 5 and 6 and verse 8. We'll read those verses again. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness. Verse 8, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So far. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this morning is a sermon where you will be hearing about growing in godliness, what 2 Peter 1 verse 5 calls supplementing or adding to your faith. And the Bible verses we will be focusing on this morning, part of verse 5, verse 6 and 8, promise to be very practical. But how do you feel about that? How do you feel about hearing the command to make every effort to supplement your faith, to strive in your walk with God? Some of you might be looking forward to it. I like practical sermons, you might have said. And I could do with a swift kick up the pants to tell me to get on with it, to press on and grow in godliness. Or else you might be looking forward to this because not only you, but this church needs a swift kick up the pants. I'm not seeing a lot of godliness, you might be thinking. People seem to be more focused on themselves than on God. Our standards are slipping. To be told to increase in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, to make every effort to grow in knowledge and to persevere in godly self-control is a good reminder for all of us. But some of you might not be all that excited. There is enough legalism in this church already, you might be thinking. I already feel judged as not good enough. Right now, I don't need a sermon telling me on how much I am a failure. I'm struggling to keep it all together as it is. To be told to step it up, to be diligent and do more and more as if we're in some sort of spiritual boot camp, that's too much, that's too hard. It is true that 2 Peter 1 verse 5 to 8 urges us to grow in faith. When it says in verse 5 that you are to make every effort to supplement your faith, this means that our faith in Jesus Christ must lead to a changed life where we might make every effort to grow. Adding to our faith is going to cost us something. It will require effort. And so you can expect this sermon to prod you along, to urge you into action, to spare no effort in your desire to grow in faith. But there is something you need to understand first, and that's the context in which Peter gives this command. 2 Peter 1 verse 5 says, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and so forth. And the reason Peter is referring to can be found in the verses 1 to 4. It is because of what God has given us in Christ Jesus. Salvation, righteousness, the gift of being partakers of the divine nature and escaping the corruption that is in the world. It is because of these things that we are now commanded to supplement our faith. In other words, you don't add to your faith to be accepted by God, but you do these things because you have already been accepted by him through the righteousness of Jesus. So this sermon is not a kick up the pants to get you going up the ladder of faith by your own grit and determination. This sermon is not intended to give you a code of behaviour that we should all be doing so that we can pat ourselves on the back and look down our noses at everyone else. And this sermon is most certainly not intended to give you the message that somehow you have to do it all for your own salvation after all. Rather, we need to understand the context. We need to see that Peter is writing these things to those who have been purchased by the blood of Christ, who belong to Christ by a true faith, who have received grace and peace and indeed everything from God already, and who are now simply being told to use what they've received to grow in the grace and knowledge that is ours in Jesus Christ. I read to you God's word under the following theme: supplement your faith with knowledge and self-control. And we will consider two points: grow in knowledge and persevere in godly self-control. Grow in knowledge. It is interesting that Peter's second letter refers to knowledge and the need to grow in knowledge so many times. When Peter wrote this letter, there were false teachers who would later be known as Gnostics. The word Gnostics comes from the Greek word gnosis, which means knowledge. These Gnostics claimed to have some sort of secret knowledge through which they achieved a spiritual awakening. But what these false teachers called knowledge was in fact falsehood, since 2 Peter 2 verse 1 says, "They denied the Lord who bought them." But true knowledge is the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, specifically who the Lord Jesus is and what he has done for our salvation. That's how Peter talks about knowledge in 2 Peter 1 verse 2, where it says, "May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." And 2 Peter 1 verse 3, "His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence." And 2 Peter 1 verse 8, "For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." 2 Peter 1 verse 12 is a little different, where it says, "Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have." But that truth that you have, that Peter's readers knew, is the truth of the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. Then 2 Peter 2 verse 20 speaks about escaping the defilement of this world. Through the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And finally, 2 Peter 3 verse 18 says, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ." The knowledge that Peter is writing about, therefore, is clearly a knowledge about the Lord Jesus, and so a knowledge about the gospel, who Christ is, what it means to be saved in him, and what it means to live in him. And that is what we must add to our faith. Our faith is, of course, both knowing and believing the gospel of our salvation in Jesus Christ. Our catechism puts it well when it says in answer 21 that true faith is both a sure knowledge, whereby I accept as true all that God has revealed to us in his word, and a firm confidence that not only to others, but also to me, God has granted forgiveness of sins, everlasting righteousness and salvation, out of mere grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. That's what faith is. And when you become a Christian, that's what you need to know and to believe. But 2 Peter 1 verse 5 tells us to keep adding to this. In other words, keep on growing your knowledge of who God is, of who our Saviour Jesus is, and of the gospel. Keep growing in the good news of salvation, which can only be found in him. To grow in this way is a beautiful thing, but it does take effort. It does take commitment. It involves opening God's word, reading it, studying it, learning from it who God is and how we are to grow in him and in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And 2 Peter 1 verse 5 says that we are to do this making every effort. But how are you doing that? How are your days and weeks scheduled so that you will be growing in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? There is something happening in the Christian church today. We seem to be giving up on studying doctrine and the deeper things of God's word for short, snappy blog posts, memes, and sound bites. If you are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or some other social media platform, and if you have a lot of Christian friends or follow various Christian organizations, you might have a number of memes or quotes or Bible texts or video clips pop up every day. And that can be really good to have those reminders about God and the gospel through your day. But if that is all, if our attention span to God and his word is limited to anything from 2 seconds to 2 minutes, then we will hardly be growing. We will not abound in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." And Hebrews 5:12-14 says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." And Ephesians 4:14 says, "We may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes." And that's what happens when we do not add to our faith knowledge, when we do not grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We become babies, not knowing good from evil. We become prey to false teachers, giving up the true gospel for what is not the gospel at all. And we might even be destroyed for the lack of knowledge. So what should we be doing? How should we be growing in knowledge? Well, those quotes, Bible texts, and video clips on Facebook can have their place. But God's word, the gospel, is so deep and there is so much to learn. Psalm 139:17 says, "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them." You need to know God's thoughts. You need to know what he has commanded. You need to know what he has done. If you were to ask, "Why is my prayer life so weak? Why do I get confused about what is right and wrong? Why is my understanding about the Bible, about what the Bible teaches, so fuzzy? Why does my walk with God lurch from crisis to crisis?" Then the answer may be, at least in part, because you do not know God's word, because you are not steeped in it, because you are not growing in it with all diligence, because you do not abound in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible urges us how we are to grow the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, our Saviour Jesus Christ. The Bible gives us good examples of this. Acts 2:41-42 describes the church at the time of Pentecost as follows. "So those who received this word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles, teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." And 1 Corinthians 4:5, "I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge." But what about you? What do you know about God, about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, about living in Christ and growing in him? Have you gone through some sort of instruction and have you professed your faith? How has your growth in knowledge been going since then? How are you adding knowledge through making every effort? Young men, you are called to grow in your faith, not just for yourselves, but also for your family, or if you are not married yet and God blesses you with a wife, your future family. You will be called upon to lead in prayer, to guide your family in the wonderful doctrine of God's word. You need to be ready to speak about the gospel and your life in Christ to whoever you meet in your daily walk of life. You are expected to use your gifts in the church, perhaps leading a Bible study group, perhaps as a future office bearer. But do you have the knowledge for this? Young women, you are also called to grow in your faith, not just for yourself, but also for others. You also need to be ready to speak about your faith, to defend the true gospel. You will also be challenged by many new and wrong ideas in this changing world. If you have a family, or if God will bless you with a family and with children, you will be called upon to do a lot of teaching and instruction. But are you preparing for this? Are you making every effort to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ? And that applies to all of us. The world is changing. We are and we will be faced with many challenges and many questions. But how will you respond to these things if you do not know what the Bible teaches you to do? 2 Peter 3:17-18 says, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ." So how should you do this? Make the study of God's word, make growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ central to your life rather than something you do from time to time. Arrange your days, your week, your life around a growth in the knowledge of the gospel. Sit together around your dinner table and read your Bible. Read your Bible for yourself. Pray. Come to church consistently and prayerfully listen to the word preached with an open Bible, searching the scriptures so that you might be convinced of what is written in them. Keep reading various articles online and in good magazines. Plan to read good books about the Bible and the various teachings in the Bible, and talk with others about what you are learning. Join in with a Bible study group, or else start a new one. But do all this on your knees, praying that you will not simply learn for the sake of learning, but so that you might abound in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Will that take effort? Does that take commitment? Yes, it does. It will not always be easy, and you will be needing to give all diligence to this. But don't be anxious, and don't look at the mountain and conclude that it's all too hard and that there is too much to do. Instead, fix your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and rejoice in your new life in Him. Pray that you might love Him more and more, and then learn about Him so that you might understand Him more and more. And as you do that, then it will be an increasing pleasure to add to your faith knowledge. Brings us to the second point, persevere in godly self-control. As you learn to know Christ better and gain a growing understanding of the gospel and what it means to be saved in Christ, you will also want to live for Christ and to persevere in godliness. And so 2 Peter 2:6 says that, having supplemented our faith with knowledge, we are to supplement knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness. We could go through each of these virtues individually, but there is some overlap, and in the interest of time, we will look at these things together. Learning what it means to give all diligence to persevere in godly self-control. It is a hard thing to persevere in godly self-control. It happens so quickly that we go from godliness to godlessness in our thoughts, words, or behaviour. Titus 2:11-12 says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in the present age. But how do you live soberly? How can we live righteously? How can we be godly in this present age? Why do we love the world and the things of the world? Why is it so hard to battle against the flesh? How do we keep from falling again and again? We hear a lot about addictions lately. Addictions to drugs, to meth, to painkillers, addictions to alcohol, addictions to pornography. But the Bible uses a broader term, the term lust. This lust doesn't only refer to wrong sexual desire, but to all those deep desires, those longings that rage within us. Many of us find it hard to fight against those lusts. Many of us stumble and fall again and again until we cry out, as Paul did in Romans 7, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And at times you might even give up. At times you might even try to get used to your sin to conclude, "This is the new me, and this is how things are always going to be." But when we think or we speak this way, then we have forgotten the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have forgotten the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit. To live a life free from giving in to lust is to live a self-controlled life. And self-control is a fruit of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit works through the gospel. The Holy Spirit gives us Christ and calls us to live in Him. To see Christ, therefore, and to live in the gospel of Christ is the key to self-control. And then what we will find is that as we grow in our love for God and our love for Christ, we will want to live in fellowship with Christ. And that fellowship with Christ will be so precious that we will not want anything to get in the way of that fellowship. That's what the Apostle Paul meant when he wrote in 1 Corinthians 9 verse 27, "But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself shall be disqualified." Is that hard to do? Absolutely. Although Satan will attack each one of us in different ways, to persevere in godly self-control is a hard thing to do, and it requires effort and diligence. But as we turn to God, as we fix our attention on Jesus Christ, and as we grow in knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Lord will give us what we need to fight temptation. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with temptation, He will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it." And as in God's power, you fight that temptation and the lust that rage within you, and as you turn more and more to Jesus Christ and find your fulfillment and satisfaction in Him, then you will also see progress in your growth in godliness. To grow in godliness and to abound in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ is not a losing battle. Yes, it is a struggle at times, and you might be discouraged, but then turn once more to God. Turn to Jesus Christ. Look back to the cross where your sins were paid for, and look forward to the return of Christ. And as you do this, growing and abounding in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, you will grow and be firmly established in Him. Therefore, abound in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Since you, who have been purchased in the blood of Christ, have been given all things for a life of godliness, grow in Him, and in that sense add to your faith not only virtue, but also knowledge, self-control, perseverance, and godliness. And when you do that, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, but you will partake in the divine nature, reflecting our God and Saviour Jesus Christ, to the praise of His glory and grace. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let us now sing from Psalm 139, verse 13. In our prayer this morning, we will remember Sister Jenny Van Dongen. This past week, she could have surgery to insert a heart pump to allow her heart to strengthen for a further operation. Our sister continues to be in a critical condition in hospital. We'll also pray for our brother George Brinks, who this week had successful carpal tunnel surgery to one hand. We'll also remember Brother Josh Van Joon, who was hospitalised this week and had surgery to remove his appendix. We will thank the Lord that Brittany Ten Half could be engaged to Kobe Diara. And finally, we will also pray for the work that is being allowed to happen in the mission field in PNG. Let us pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we come before you knowing that we are creatures who put ourselves first and you last. We like to be in the centre of the picture with you off to the side. We know that Satan will attack each one of us in different ways. Help us to persevere in godly self-control that we might fight the temptation and the lust that rage within us. We pray that we may turn more and more to our Saviour and find in him fulfillment and satisfaction, and in this way we may see progress in our growth in godliness, and that we may abound in the knowledge of him. Father, we know for us this is often a struggle. At times we may become discouraged, yet we may be heartened by the knowledge that this is not a losing battle, that we do not fight this on our own. Help us to look to our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that we may turn to him, that we look back to the cross where our sins were paid for, and that we may look forward to his return. And grant as we do this that we may grow, that we add to our faith not only virtue but also knowledge, self-control, perseverance and godliness. And in this way we will grow and be firmly established in you. We pray for your church both here and around the world. We live in a world that denies you, where your people often experience injustice at the hand of the ungodly. We pray for those especially who suffer persecution and oppression for your namesake. Lord, we also know in our own country and culture there is much opposition for your name, We pray, preserve your church in the midst of ungodliness and protect your people and help your people to walk worthy of the gospel. We pray especially that you will help us by your Spirit that we may show something of our Saviour through our conduct in our daily lives. Be with all of us as we speak of your gospel to others, to those who do not believe, to those who do not have that firm hope and comfort that we have. Father, we pray as we do that, grant that we do it with boldness, that we can do it more naturally, that we do not have this big distinction between our church life and our life during the week. That how we act and what we do and what we say, we speak of your great love and for others to join us in confessing that. Father, we pray that you will give us encouragement as we live in a fallen world where we experience pain and the grief of sickness and death. Grant comfort to all those who have lost loved ones, whether recently or perhaps even long ago, and are still living with the pain and hurt and the grief of loss. Please comfort them with your word and the promises of your eternal inheritance for all of us. We pray that you will bless us and care for us as individual members in our situations. Help us, Father, to live in love for one another. Bless the bonds that there are in families. Bless the marriages. Bless relationships between parents and children. We pray that you will work a spirit of love and unity. We pray, Father, for a blessing for the wedding this coming Saturday of our sister Bronwyn Dystra to Brother Damien Desnoux. Thank you that they wish to begin this holy state in your name and to complete it to your glory. Please bless them on the day as they say their vows and give them an enjoyable day with friends and family. Thank you also, Lord, that we could hear the news that Sister Brittany Senhalf could be engaged to Brother Kobe Diaga. What a blessing that two covenant children could find each other and become engaged. Bless them in their preparation for marriage, that you will be included in all their planning and decisions made. Give them a blessed time of preparation. We thank you, Father, for your care which you have shown to our sister Van Dongen this past week. We thank you for sparing her life thus far. Thank you that you have blessed the hands of the doctors in surgery this past week, where they were able to insert a heart pump internally to allow her heart to strengthen. Thank you for new technology that continues to be developed. Such reason for thanks, and we acknowledge your hands in this, and we give you thanks that you have made all things well so far. We pray that you will now continue to bless our sister's recovery, and as she remains in critical condition, please be with her, give her strength. Be with her husband Jack and their children. Surround them all with your love and care. Thank you that they continue to be at peace with your plan in their lives and that they can stand in awe in how you look over them even in this difficult time. Thank you, Lord, also for the successful carpal tunnel surgery our brother George Brinks could receive this week. Thank you for the work of the doctors. Please now bless his recovery. Give patience when he is unable to use one hand for a period of time, so that in due time he may take up his daily task again. Also, thank you for the operation that our brother Josh Van Joon needed this past week, that you have blessed the hands of the doctors to successfully remove his appendix. Please bless this recovery also. Thank you also for the good progress his young son Miles is also making while still in hospital. Please continue to bless this, your child, and also continue to surround both Josh and Monique with patience as they spend so much time with him in the hospital, so that in due time he may be strong enough to be able to go home with them. Thank you also, Lord, for the ongoing work that happens in PNG that we as Sending Church are privileged to support. Thank you for the successful move the Yong and the Pol families could make to their new home in Ukurumpa. Be with them as they settle in. Grant that this move may allow for the continued spreading of your gospel throughout this country, also in the various church plants, so that more and more of the indigenous Papuans may come to hear your wonderful gospel message. Thank you for the fruits already seen in this work, especially in Hilla, where there is a real appetite for hearing your word, And we know that all this work done by sinful men will all be in vain if not for your blessing over it. Thank you, Father, also for the good medical care that young Silas Paul could receive in Nkurumpa recently when he suffered from high fever seizures. Please, will you continue to bless his recovery? Be with the Vanderkamp family still currently in lay on their own. Bless them in the work that still needs to be done there. And also as they prepare to make the move to Nkurumpa at a later date to join our two missionary families. Grant also that the school years may go well for the Living Water Christian School and the Logos School when they open in the next couple of weeks for another year of learning. We are thankful that these schools can provide families with a reformed education in this country. We also pray for Pastor Tony and family as they plan to return to Wonton after 6 months of sabbatical. We also pray that this time off may have given restored health for Sister Reggie. Continue to give her all she needs as she recovers from thyroid gland issues. Give this family renewed strength as they take up their task in the congregation once again. Thank you for the enjoyable time the workers from the Bible College and from Lay could have when they got together recently for their annual conference. Thank you for the good work that we could done, the time of fellowship that could be had together, even with the children. And we are truly thankful, Lord, for the good working relationship between all the workers and the boards that support them. We also pray for our own mission board in the work that they do to support the three families on the field. Continue to give them strength in their tasks that it may be a blessing for all those in PNG. Please also bless them as they work with the supporting and cooperating churches on the proposal to assist the churches in Port Moresby with the plan to take a holistic approach to the church planting work in PNG. Lord, a lot of work is being done by the board, a lot of discussions. Bless them in this work, we pray. Grant that we all may keep this work alive in prayer and discussions in our families and church, so that we may continue to support the spreading of your word. We pray for the gifts that will be collected this morning for this work in PNG. Grant that we may give generously from what you have given to us for this work. Lord, we bring all these things before you this morning, and we come to you with so many requests, recognizing that we and in and of ourselves are weak, and yet in you and in the strength of your word and spirit we can be strong in Jesus Christ. We pray all this in his name, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, this morning your gifts will be collected for the mission work in PNG, and after which we will sing our closing song, the Psalm 86, verse 2 and 4. Lift up your hearts unto God, receive the blessing of the Lord, and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.